Good to see y'all. Kind of missed y'all on Sunday. It's kind of. Then we ended up showing up here. What day was that? Sunday?
Monday.
So it was like we couldn't stand being away from each other. So we all just had to show up. Yeah, we almost had a nursing home move in with us, but that we were kind of the last plan B or C, I guess, for that. So that didn't happen, but almost happened. Luke chapter 8 this evening. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. And I know I have preached this sermon before, but it's been a few years. And it'll have a little more meaning going through what we've just gone through here with storm, and some people are still going through it right now. This can be the Harvey sermon, if you want to call it that. The Harvey sermon. While you guys are turning there, it's Luke 8, verse 22. Some notes about communication and the way people communicate. I don't know if you want to write them down or whatever, but just some notes and thoughts about communication. The first thought, and this isn't the sermon, these are just thoughts here. And the first one is, nothing happens until someone says something. Nothing happens until someone says something. What do you mean by that? It's even biblical. You go back to the Genesis chapter 1, and the very first thing God does is he talks. And he said, let there be light. And the principle is true. You had, you know, in this hurricane, you've got all kinds of folks saying, what do I do? What do I do? Where do I go? What they're waiting on is someone to tell them what the step is. Where do I send the money? Where do I send the food? Where do I go? How do I get there? And they're waiting for someone to say something. And the principle is nothing happens until someone says something. Another principle of communication is the bigger the group, the better the communication has to be, obviously. You know, the more people, it's easy to communicate with five people, but when you have 30 or 100 or 500 people, you have to be more clear, more direct, and everyone, you just have to have better communication, obviously. The third principle is this. Never assume anyone knows anything. Don't assume anyone knows anything. Be very clear and direct with instruction. Just don't assume anyone knows anything. And another principle is kind of leadership type thing. Good leaders are good listeners. Good communicators, I should say, are good listeners. Listen. And then the last thought on communication is this. Informed people are happy people. The principle works like this. If you're left in the dark about something, your mind will go to the worst possible scenario. I'll give you an example. You go to the doctor. Doctor says, we got some news, but I can't tell you. And then you wait. Now, you know what you're thinking? The worst possible scenario. That's what you're thinking. Informed people are happy people. And it's just a principle of communication. Let people know what's going on, and they'll be, you know, relaxed and to the degree you can be. But informed people are happy people. Those are just some principles, some thoughts on communication that, you know, we were dealing with communication this weekend and all that. And so I wanted to give those to you. That's not the sermon, but just some thoughts. Look in Luke chapter 8, and we'll get to the sermon here. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. And we're going to talk about a storm. We're going to talk about Harvey in the Bible here. This is Harvey. This is what happened. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. The Bible says this. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship. That's Jesus Christ. He went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Boy, that's the position of a lot of people tonight. And they came to him, verse 24, and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. And he arose, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. I want to show you five things tonight in these verses that are lessons from a storm. Let's pray. Father, Lord, like Mike said, we are thankful that the damage from the hurricane isn't worse here, but Lord, our hearts and thoughts and minds are with family members in Houston, with other folks that are suffering tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would protect families, provide grace and comfort and help where it's needed, and Lord, get people to safety. Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, I can't imagine a life without your words, wandering around in darkness, not knowing which way is up or down, not having a solid, sure foundation to rest my life on. Father, I am so thankful for your words, and I am so thankful for salvation in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray if there's anybody here tonight that's not saved, tonight would be the night that they get saved. And Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit and speak through me. Say what you want said and help us. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So these disciples are in a storm, kind of a familiar situation here, having come through what's happened, at least here. I know it's still going on in other places, but they're in a storm. Jesus Christ has got in the boat. He told them to go to the other side, and then he went down in the boat, and he went to sleep. And of course, when he goes to sleep, then trouble starts. The rains come, the winds pick up, start rocking the boat, the water starts getting into the boat, even to the point where the Bible says they're in jeopardy. And of course, Jesus Christ is still asleep. He's not waking up for any of this. And so it's kind of a peculiar thing. You would think maybe he would consider the situation, maybe he would take some care for what's going on, but the disciples, they're worried. And they don't know what to do, so they try to wake him up. And these are experienced fishermen. That's another thing. You know, you read this, these guys have been on the water. They're not, you know, this isn't a new thing for them. And so they've been on the water, so they're not new to it being in a boat. But this is apparently a storm that concerns them. I want to show you five things here real quick. Quickly here. Get through this. Show you five things about a storm that you can learn. The first thing comes in verse 22. The first thing I want you to see is this. Trouble does not mean sin. Trouble does not mean sin. The storm comes with these disciples in the boat. All right? There's no particular thing going on with these disciples that God's judging. And I heard some of that this week, you know, well, I guess God hates Texas or something because he did that. I've heard people say that this week. And, you know, it's trouble doesn't mean sin. It doesn't have to mean sin. And so these disciples are in a boat. The storm comes, the wind, the waves, the water puts them in jeopardy. And it's not because they're great sinners. They just happen to be in a boat with a storm. And so the first thing to understand is, I think maybe sometimes we get the idea. I mean, maybe we have guilty conscience. Maybe it's good we do. Maybe we should, or maybe we should. I don't know. But you start trying to figure out, why does this thing happen? Why is there so much trouble? What sin is this connected with? And it's not connected with the sin. This storm that these disciples are in is not connected with sin. There's no judgment of God here. Trouble doesn't mean sin. Consider this. Consider a few things. Consider Job. Consider Paul. Consider Jesus Christ. All experiencing trouble in their lives, not because of sin. Not because of their sin. There's no reason that God's not judging any of them. But the first thing is I notice in this storm is when trouble comes, sometimes we look for the sin, and other people do too. They look for the sin. Well, that guy must have been doing something bad, or that girl must have been doing something bad. That's why she's messed up. That's why he's messed up. But you need to be careful about how you judge that thing, because trouble doesn't always mean sin. In this case, it has nothing to do with sin. Second thing, you and I have got to learn to find security in who God is, because you and I don't always know what he's doing. Here's the disciples on the boat. Jesus Christ is asleep in the hole of the boat there. The thought in the disciples' minds, what would be the thought in the disciples' minds? Obviously, they think he doesn't care about our situation. He doesn't care about our lives. He doesn't care about what's happening. Does he even know what's going on? Is he even aware of what's happening? The principle and the lesson here is this. You and I have got to learn to find security in who God is, because we don't always understand what he's doing. They had no idea what he was doing other than sleeping. They think he doesn't care. They think he doesn't love them. They think he's not going to protect them. They all the thoughts that go through your mind there. The point is, Jesus Christ, the Bible says in verse 24, he fell asleep. And they didn't know what in the world he was doing. You and I ought to find security in who God is. You know, sometimes you just have to trust the character of God. Sometimes you don't understand the circumstances, you don't understand the why, you don't understand the how, you don't understand, and you're not even the guilty party in it. You're just an innocent party to all this. Things are happening around you, so to speak, and you don't understand the circumstances, but you know God is a loving God. Jesus Christ cares for you. Jesus Christ is merciful. Jesus Christ is faithful. And sometimes you just have to rest in the fact that his character is good and you don't understand what's going on. Find security in who God is, because you don't always know what he's doing. You don't always know what he's doing. There's a verse over in Psalms that it says, "Be still and know I'm God." What are you going to do? Just be still and know I'm God. It's not, Jesus Christ is not asleep because he doesn't care. He's not asleep because he's not faithful. He's not asleep because he's hateful. He's not asleep because he doesn't love the disciples. He's asleep because he's tired. And that led to them thinking, well, he doesn't care, he doesn't love us, all those thoughts. Point is, find security in who God is. And at some point in your life, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to trust who God is, because you don't understand what he's doing. I mean, isn't that what we you know, as kids and parents and all that, mom and dad says something, or somebody tells you to do something, and you don't really like what they're saying. But you ought to remember, mom and dad, or who's watching over you, they're taking care of you. They love you. They're watching out for you, and they're just a little bit further down the road than you are. Well, God is way further down the road than we are, and he knows. Find security in who God is, because you don't always know what he's doing. Disciples don't know what in the world he's doing. Third thing is this. Look in verse 25, what Jesus Christ asks them. It says, "Then he said unto them, where is your faith?" That's a good question. Faith and fear don't occupy the same real estate. They don't occupy the same space. And so right now these guys are afraid. So that their faith is in the wrong thing. Faith can't exist with fear. Fear can't exist with faith. General Patton said this. I probably quoted it to you several times. But he said this. He said, I never take counsel from my fears. They give bad advice. Fear is, third point, fear is focusing on the wrong thing. You're looking at the wrong thing. These guys are afraid, they're scared to death, and Jesus Christ says, where is your faith? Where did it go? The problem is you're looking at the wrong thing. Here you have, we're in the safety of the auditorium here, the sanctuary, whatever you call it. We're in the safety of this, and we're not on the boat. Obviously, I think we'd be just like these guys on the boat. We can read back and look into this and say, here are these disciples on the boat with the creator of the universe. You're worried about the water. The creator is here. What are you worried about? He's in the boat with you. We ought to think about that. You're saved. If you're saved, you're a child of God, and you've got the creator, his spirit, inside of you. He's in the boat with you. And we look around and we worry about the stuff going on, and he's there in the boat. He says, where is your faith? The point is this. Fear is focusing on the wrong thing. That song we sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Well, that's good advice. That's real good advice. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Fear is focusing on the wrong thing. Verse 25, fourth thing. He said this, and he said unto them, where's your faith? And they being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Back there in verse 23, 24, somewhere in there, he had told them to go over to the other side. Verse 22, there it is. Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. Before the storm, he had told them, let's go over to the other side of the lake. Now let me ask you something to make the point here. Were those words any less true in the storm? Mm-mm. They were just as true when it was calm as they were in the storm. The point is this, never forget in the dark what was said in the light. He said over here, we're going to the other side. And then it got kind of rocky, and then the wind started picking up, and then the water started coming in, and then what he said was now out of their mind. They had forgotten what was said in the light when the dark came. The principle, the point is, never forget in the darkness what was said in the light. It's easy to believe God when the water's calm. But just because the waves have become boisterous doesn't mean God's word has changed any. Just because the winds have picked up doesn't mean God's voice has changed any. Just because the water is coming into the boat doesn't mean what God said is different than what he said before. Never forget in the darkness what was said in the light. And then lastly is this. The disciples say it for us. They ask this question, or really kind of a statement here. Verse 25. They say, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. The last point is this. The intended outcome of the storm is a greater revelation of who Jesus Christ is. The question or the statement these disciples make, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. They didn't know that before the storm, but they knew that after the storm. And there was no way for them to learn that lesson on the beach. They couldn't have said, they could have had a knowledge. Yeah, we believe he can control the winds and water. We believe that, and that's easy to say on the beach. But once you're in the boat, and the boat's starting to capsize, and the water's coming in, and then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ steps out there and shuts the whole thing down. Complete calm. The water stops, goes from boisterous to just a nice, calm surface. The winds stop howling, and they just settle. It's one thing to know that in your head from the beach. Yeah, we believe Jesus Christ can control the winds and the water. But it's another thing to be in the boat in jeopardy and have him control it. Now you know it. And they wouldn't have known it had they not been in the storm. The intended outcome of your storm is a greater revelation of who God is. And that's what they said. What manner of man is this? You know, we thought we knew Jesus Christ. We thought we knew him. We never knew him like this. We've never seen anybody do anything like this. And we've seen him heal people. That's pretty neat. We've been watching him heal people. We've been listening to him preach. And that's, boy, he speaks with authority, not like these other teachers and these other Pharisees and these guys. But we've never seen anybody calm the water and the waves with their voice. What manner of man is this? That storm was instructive. There wasn't another way for the disciples to see that Jesus had power over the elements, the wind and the water, and by corralling them with his voice. You know, you think about that. It's one thing to say God provides. I mean, that's easy to say when you got money in the bank. God provides. But try saying it when you don't. Try saying it when the water's crashing down. How does God show you he's a provider? Well, he lets you get in a position of need a little bit. And then he provides. And he puts you in a little position of need, and he allows you to get to that place in life, whatever the situation is. And he's still on the throne. He's not bothered by it. I mean, he's not surprised by it. He lets you get in that position, and then he comes right through for you. And then he teaches you a lesson that you wouldn't have known. Yeah, I mean, you could say it. Yeah, we believe God's faithful. We believe God provides. But you didn't know that until you needed something. How does God show you he's a comforter? Until you're in some pain. How? I mean, it's one thing to say, yes, God comforts my soul, and you know the Holy Spirit, he ministers to me. That's one thing to say. But it's another thing to be in a position of hurt and pain and struggling and suffering and have him come in there and minister to you and feed you, and take care of you. Then you know he's a comforter. Then you know he's a provider. Then you know what manner of man is this. Boy, he just speaks, and the water calms down, and the waves calm down, and the wind calms down. We didn't know he could do that. I mean, we thought we knew he could do that. We'd never seen it happen, though. The intended outcome of your storm is a greater revelation of who God is. Well, we've got a good illustration of it going on right now, but I'll give you an illustration of my cousin. I guess it's been a couple years now. Yeah. A couple years. He and his wife, they were having a child, and the baby was going to be born with all kinds of problems. And, you know, wasn't predicted to live any amount of time. And so there was even, I mean, I think they even had some advice to just go ahead and end the pregnancy. I mean, they didn't listen to it, but that's what some of the people advised. And so Brittany ends up having the baby. The baby lives 17 minutes. What do you do? But I remember Nick's testimony. He's saved. My cousin, he's saved. He said, I learned some things about Jesus Christ that I never would have known if this hadn't happened. The intended outcome of your storm is a greater revelation of who God is. You know how God redeems situations? If you'll let him, you can learn more about Jesus Christ. If you won't get mad at him, if you won't get angry at him, if you won't get bitter at him, you'll learn more about Jesus Christ if you'll let him teach you through some hard times. These things in this storm, trouble doesn't mean sin. Find security in who God is, because you don't always know what he's doing. Fear is focusing on the wrong thing. Never forget in the darkness what was said in the light. And last, the intended outcome of that storm and the intended outcome of your storm is a greater revelation of who Jesus Christ is. What manner of man is this? Boy, they learned something in the boat that they could have never learned on the shore. And that was the point. You learn something about Jesus Christ that you didn't know that you need to know. Lessons from a storm. Father, thank you so much for this time. I pray this has been helpful. Lord, we need so much help. Thank you for everybody that's here tonight. I pray everybody here would get something from you, Lord. Get fed by you. Father, thank you so much for bringing everybody here tonight. Lord, please, please help the folks that are north of us, families and friends and pastors. And Lord, I pray that you'd guide us to folks that need help. We could be a blessing to them. Pray for Brother Hinton, who's going to be coming Saturday, and just the devastation he's looking at. And Lord, give us wisdom. Give him wisdom as a pastor, what to do. And Lord, pray we'd be a help to him. Thank you so much for putting these words in your book. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, prayer request.